Hi, it's Dennis Green on Jazz 88.3 KCCK. Another in our kind of informal series of talking with artists, many of them Iowa natives, who are all around the country and how they're navigating their careers in music through the pandemic. And it's my great pleasure to welcome Bridget Carney to KCCK. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
Bridget, of course, Iowa City native, Iowa City West graduate, and a member of the gigantic band, one of the biggest bands on the planet, Lake Street Dive, at least as far as we're concerned.
And so big.
So big. And you have been on the road for, gosh, pretty much the last 2 or 3 years straight. So when everything came to a halt in March, that just had to be a huge lifestyle change.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm accustomed to being on the go a lot. And this is probably the longest chunk of time that I've spent in one location since college, maybe. Yeah, change of pace, you know, adjusting, rolling with everything, surrendering to the situation and trying to, you know, continue to make music and stay joyful.
How are you keeping busy during the day? I'm sure you're putting a lot of time into practice. Are you doing anything in terms of the online recording and performances and things like that that we're seeing, recording some tracks that you all are hoping to kind of get out there? I know that you've got a project you recorded in Africa. Talk about that in a, you know, that I'm sure you're continuing to work on. But tell me how you go through your day.
Yeah. So I've been doing a fair amount of writing and recording here, just kind of taking the opportunity to do the solitary work that's sort of necessary in the whole process of creation. And also putting out stuff that's more kind of like regular, ready to go now or coming out now, like doing streaming performances. I would say I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot of new technology. I'm, you know, figuring out how to stream a show with me and my friend Benjamin Lazar Davis, who we made the album in Ghana together last year. And so we're quarantined in two different locations. And so it requires something like 6 different applications, one running into the next and then back to the first. And then, yeah, it's just this insane chain of events that needs to occur for us to be able to play in time together. So, you know, learning that kind of stuff. I've been doing some like video projects with Lake Street Dive, syncing up each video and audio from each of our homes and learning this video software. And yeah, it's been nothing I could have predicted, but kind of amazing in some ways.
We're all having to learn a whole new skill set. And the thing that I have noticed that is a positive out of this is that people like you who are putting up performances online and things like that is that it's a much more intimate music experience, because even if it's pre-taped and even if it's, you know, like all of you in the band, you know, putting your things together, it's in your homes and we're getting to see you in a way that we don't when you're up on stage several hundred yards away.
It's true. And having watched some of these concerts as well, other people's home streams and stuff, I also feel that same way, where like there's something about this direct to camera experience where you're just being sung to by these artists that you love. And so that's pretty cool to see.
You mentioned that you recorded a project in Ghana toward the end of last year, right before all of this happened. Tell me about that.
So I've been learning about Ghanaian music since college. There was an instructor there, Jerry Leek, who was introducing the students in his freshman drumming class to some Ghanaian like ensemble drumming music, where there'd be traditionally like some group of, you know, 6 to 10 drummers on different size and drums with different tones. And there is a music that's created by like a patterns within all this whole ensemble of drums. And I loved it and just thought like the construction of it was so unique and cool. And so years after that, I started going to Ghana and studying there and meeting some musicians. And so I've been there 3 times now, and usually for a period of 2 weeks or a month. And yeah, we made this full length album that is a collaboration with some of the musicians that we met there. It's incorporating some of the traditional instruments, like the geel, which is a, it's kind of like a xylophone type of instrument, wooden bars with gourds underneath it. And the kolago, which is a picked lute instrument. But stylistically, it's a pretty unique amalgamation of those instruments with like kind of blown out drums and backbeats and I don't know. It's hard to describe.
What is Benjamin's main instrument and music background?
So he and I went to school together at New England Conservatory. We were both bass players, but now both of us are doing a lot of different instruments, playing guitars and keyboards and singing. And Ben is an incredible producer. So both of us were kind of engineering and producing the album, but he's somebody who can like take a sound, put it inside the computer, and just deconstruct it, reconstruct it, create something like a sound that you've never heard before. So yeah, he was a big part of creating this just kind of textures and atmosphere on the record. And we wrote all the songs together along with our Ghanaian collaborators, Steve-O Atambire, who's the kolago player and sings on the record, incredible singer. And Aaron Bebe, who's the geel player. It came out May 9th,
okay.
I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the record's out, and there's some videos that went along with it. And we were meant to be touring it right now, but we're not. So we're doing some streaming performances, and hopefully when everything opens up again, we'll get to tour it. And we also had been working towards bringing Steve-O Atambire over to do the tour with us, which I think would be, hopefully we'll get that going eventually. And I'm excited about that.
Well, through the miracle of recording stuff and then finishing up the post-production later, at the end of the interview, we will have one of the songs from the album at the end, so that people listening to KCCK will get a little taste of what that's about. And so in addition to Lake Street Dive and this project, what other, I know you always have, you know, 2 or 3 different collaborations and groups going on. What other projects are on the burner?
I've been working on a new solo record here at my basement studio in Brooklyn. And I also have been doing some writing with various people around the country. You can do like writing sessions over Zoom these days. So been writing with some young songwriters and other pals of mine. And yeah, that's kind of what's kicking right now. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Been teaching some lessons this week. This Lake Street Dive has been teaching lessons in order to raise funds for some organizations that are working for racial justice. And so, yeah, I've been teaching this week, which is something I don't do a lot of, but it's been really fun. And it's people all around the country. I taught somebody in Alaska and somebody in North Carolina, and cool to connect with them.
In the last couple of years, and I know that he was on the most recent release and has been a part of your tour, you added a member to Lake Street Dive. Tell me about that.
So yeah, maybe that was 4 years ago now. We added Aki Burmese into the band. He's an amazing keyboard player and singer, and he's added so much personality to the songs. In the character of his playing is very distinct, and he is also, yeah, in terms of, he sings background vocals with us, and it's just like adding one Aki is like adding four singers. Like, he's just so strong. And yeah, also just a great addition to the personality mix. We're, he's my tennis partner on the road, and yeah, he's great.
Had you known him for a long time? I'm just kind of, you know, obviously it sounds like it was a great leap forward for the band, but I think about how, you know, the four of you have known each other for so long and been a unit for more years than all of a sudden I'm sure that you can think of for a minute, and have bringing somebody new into that mix is not something that happens every day.
Yeah, well, initially we had just planned for it to be one tour that he was going to join us for. It was towards the end of an album cycle. We'd been touring the songs from this record for a year and a half or so, but we still had one more tour before we were going to put out the new record. And so we wanted to make it a little different. So we said, let's bring a keyboard player along. We had met Aki through like a co-bill that had been put together by this venue, Rockwood Music Hall. They had paired us up, and he had played a show right before we played. And we were all just totally blown away by his musicianship. And then a couple of years after that, he had been the keyboard player backing up this singer, B. Beeman, who was opening a tour for us. So he came to mind, and we asked him to do it. And it just went so well that we decided to keep him on board for as long as he's willing. We have an album in the works that'll be coming out someday. But he also has been involved in the writing process with us for this most recent album that we're working on too. So that's kind of miraculous that, I mean, already the fact that you can have like four writers in the band and still manage to create like some cohesive sound was special. And then I think the fact that we found another person to bring into that mix that like adds a new dimension, but also is cohesive and it still, you know, feels like a unit.
What was the last Lake Street Dive show that you played before everything closed down?
Well, in February, we played a festival in Mexico that was Brandi Carlile's festival called Girls Just Want a Weekend. So that was like a weekend of being on the beach in these huge crowds, like with a bunch of other musicians.
The way it used to be.
In another country. Yeah, exactly. And then directly after that, we played on a cruise. The Cayamo cruise. So that was a bunch of people on a boat together. So yeah, looking back on that, by the time things shut down in March, I was just couldn't believe that I had recently been in Mexico and on a cruise. But grateful in this time for the things that you've gotten to do and the people that you've gotten to meet. That's how I feel.
You've had so many amazing experiences in the last 10 years. When you kind of look back, what's one that just leaps to mind?
There's been so many, but I guess we can go right back to that last gig. The Cayamo cruise was like there with Brian Wilson and Mavis Staples, and like,
wow.
Mavis Staples came on stage with us and sang Everyday People with us. And it's just incredible to get to meet your heroes, meet these legends and make music with them. That's something really special.
Talking with Bridget Carney about what's been going on before and after the pandemic. So you mentioned that your record with Benjamin is out now. There's some work being done on a new Lake Street Dive album. And you're continuing, of course, to write and play and teach lessons. So it sounds like you're finding ways to fill up the day.
Staying busy. Yep.
And as we close, let's give a listen to something from the new record from Bridget Carney. What are we going to listen to? You pick.
Let's listen to the song Still Flying, which is the title track from this record, Still Flying, featuring Steve Atambire. You'll hear him singing, playing Coligo.
Bridget Kearney, thanks so much for joining me today. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, Sanelebia.